This episode contains potential spoilers. Listener discretion is advised.
Better late than never.
I've been listening to a lot of podcasts lately, and like crime ones and stuff. They do like news, or like, you know what I mean? It's like news.
Yeah.
They got to do like real research and information.
Up to date stuff.
Yeah. Like it's like reporting.
Well, we'll be reporting today, won't we? Hi, everybody.
Hi, everyone.
I'm Clayton.
I'm Jordy.
This is the Props Cast.
Welcome home.
Welcome home. It's been a hot minute.
A real hot minute, like 6 months.
So everyone's probably seeing a new episode and they're super stoked.
Yeah, super excited.
And some people are probably like, what is this podcast again?
How has it really been that long since your last one?
Wait, they're still doing that?
Yeah.
Well, here we are. So yeah. Deal with it.
Accept it.
I don't know what I'm doing. I am so out of the loop. I've forgotten how to do this.
Well, we just talk.
Right.
That's what we always did from day one.
So we were. So today is just going to be an extended scene. Anything lately?
Pretty much.
Essentially.
But it's different. It's different because it's there was the things we're talking about have had more anticipation around them.
Yeah. So we wanted to talk about on this episode just some movies, the big blockbuster movies that got bumped because of COVID.
Yeah.
And have come out recently. Well, I guess not that recently.
Well, recent enough.
In the time,
it's December, but it's like
in the time since our last episode, they've come out. Well, we're going to talk about four movies, three of which have been bumped for COVID, and I think the last one is meant to come out this year.
Which was that one?
Last Duel.
Oh, was it?
I think so. I'm not sure. I'm not sure actually.
I remember seeing a preview for it and being like, is Matt Damon going to wear that mullet the whole time?
Yeah.
That hockey hair?
Yeah.
That 14th century hockey hair?
I almost didn't see it.
It's weird because I guess hockey helmet hair was invented before hockey is what I got.
It was armor helmet hair.
Oh, yeah. No, you're totally right, dude. That's exactly what it was. You guys had to have the flow coming out of the back of the armor helmet.
Yeah, the knight helmet.
I didn't even think of that. See, that's why I'm friends with you, because I need that insight.
I don't know when that was supposed to come out, or maybe it came out on time, but we're going to talk about that one. These are the four big movies that we've both seen.
And we've seen them sort of lately.
Sort of.
Sort of spread out.
Sort of. So we're going to talk about No Time to Die.
Yeah.
Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Yes.
Dune. And The Last Duel.
Yeah.
Okay.
And hopefully, I think a lot of people have seen these out there.
I think so because, you know, theaters opened up partway through this year and there wasn't really a lot going on. And then suddenly there was an influx of these big budget movies that have been, like Dune on its own had so much anticipation.
And was it worth it?
Well, do you want to talk about that one first?
Let's start it off with Dune.
Let's Dune it.
Let's dive right in.
The Duneverse.
Okay, so me and Clayton are working, a little preamble. Me and Clayton have been working on the same show for the first time in a long time.
Yeah.
And it is Resident Alien, which is, it's a great show, and I feel like it doesn't get enough recognition for what it is.
Yeah, and this is season two we're working on.
Yeah, we're working on season two, yeah. And it's great people, great cast, good hours.
Great scripts.
But you know what's funny is it actually kind of is. It's a tough show. It's not the easiest show in the world, but the hits that we have our hiccups and we have our, you know,
I think the hours could be better.
The hours could be a touch better and the traveling could be not as difficult, but they've been great. I mean, we can't say anything.
Be nice if the temperature in the stage could be
a little bit more
stable. It's either too hot or too cold. It's never.
Yeah, and if they could make Folger's dark roast instead of light roast at Crafty, that would be nice. I don't know. Whatever. No, but
I don't even go to Crafty anymore. I just stopped going. I just stopped going out there.
Why was I even mentioning this, that we were working together?
I don't know, because it's news.
It is news, but it had something to do with Dune, I thought.
Oh, did you talk about Dune with someone on set?
I don't know. I can't remember what I was saying. Anyways, Dune. Did you like
it? I wanted to know where you were going with that.
I can't remember now because I'm that fucking out of it. Oh, we're tired. We're on Christmas break now.
Right.
And we were like, we should get back into doing our podcast because people are demanding it. But anyways, Dune.
I don't think people are demanding it.
Well, I think they are.
Okay. Well, all right.
Full glass, half empty.
Sure.
Scenarios.
Okay, so Dune, first of all, first impressions. I didn't know it was a part one.
No?
I did not know that going in.
Neither did I.
And I was like at the 2.5 hour mark. I'm like, man, they got a lot of story to cover still.
Yeah, they do. Well, it's a big show.
It's a big show.
It's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah. I liked it. I liked it.
I liked it too.
I do feel though that I was waiting for it for so long that when I finally got in the theater to watch it, I wasn't as excited as I was before.
Here's one thing that bugged me about not the movie itself, but the theaters right now, which what they did was it was in IMAX for a week.
Right.
And it was in Ultra AVX and all that stuff for 1 week. And then it got bumped for fucking The Eternals. What a sad sack piece that turned out to be.
Yeah.
Do you know what
I mean? Did you see that?
No.
Yeah. Okay.
But I just know it is.
Right.
I'm not going to see that fucking show. Fuck that. Right. Maybe I will. Who knows? But I was like, okay, so because I love seeing, if I'm going to go to the theater, I want to see it. It's a show like that, Denis Villeneuve shot film in IMAX or in Ultra AVX, whatever, something big, something spectacular. Yeah. I don't want to see it in a regular format theater.
Yeah.
So the first week, Heather was like, oh, I'll book us tickets, but there's only two in the theater. I'm like, I don't want to go to that packed of a COVID house. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't want to be in the theater sitting next to a bunch of mouth breathers that much. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, let's wait a couple weeks. She's like, it's going to be kicked at IMAX. I'm like, no, it won't. It's Dune. Nothing will.
It's Dune.
Yeah, exactly, right? So it turns out she was right, as usual, and the fucking Eternals bumped it out, and I was choked. But then I had to watch it in 3D.
Ew, why?
I don't know, because that was my only choice.
Why? I didn't even know they offered it in 3D.
And there was nothing about it was in 3D.
They're still doing 3D.
Yeah, and there was no 3D aspects. Does that make sense?
Yes, because like, shot that way.
Yeah, like there was no, like, you know, fucking sword coming into frame that you're like, whoa, it's close to my face, or you know,
yeah,
it wasn't like Captain EO fucking Michael Jackson.
They should re-release that.
They really should. I hope to God if they do re-release Captain EO, it'll be at Epcot Center.
Yeah, it will,
dude. That place needs does anyone go there anymore?
I don't know. I don't think so. Is it even open? I don't think so.
Okay, so Dune, let's not get sidetracked.
Dune, yeah, we'll Dune. Talk about Epcot Center for Dune, where to start? Okay, let's just preface this episode with it. If you haven't seen any of these movies, we're going to spoil
them.
We're going to spoil them all.
Yeah, we are.
Okay, so.
But not really.
This is your warning.
But are we going to spoil them? Because like.
Well, I'm going to talk about it not caring.
Like its end?
No, I'm just like going to talk about it without thinking about it. Okay. So I might inadvertently spoil some surprises. I thought, because I read the book last year in anticipation of the movie, and I thought that he did a really great adaptation because that book is so dense. That story in that world is so detailed and complicated.
It is a...
And I thought he did a really tapestry. Good job of like abridging the explanations of stuff, like the Sis knife that the...
Oh, yeah.
You know, like that's like a huge chunk of the book is dedicated to like explaining that. The significance of that. And then he just kind of did it in like 15 seconds when I was like, yeah, that works. Like that gets you the information you need. And if you read the book, you don't need to know any more than that, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, to me, I saw the first one when I was a child.
The David Lynch one.
Yeah. And all I remember from it was the worms, obviously, because that scared me.
Yeah.
But I remember, too, the part when he puts his hand in that box.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And in the movie, in the original, it like melts Kyle MacLachlan, or what is his name? Paul Atreides' hand. Like it melts it. And when I was a kid, I was like, what? Like I was scared of it when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
So now watching this, I was like, oh, okay. Like I had a way better understanding of it.
Of what that was supposed to be. Like it's just in his mind.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Right. So there was that side of it where I was like, I had all these memories of the first one, flashes and memories, but I couldn't really, I remember about the spice and the blue eyed thing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that it was a, but see, then I thought when I was watching it, I thought it was just like a whole different universe, right? Like it's a brand new universe, or not brand new, but like it's its own universe that exists in another part, like Star Wars.
Yeah.
But then, cause then I was like mad because I'm like, why is the guy's name Duncan Idaho?
I know, you couldn't let that go.
Yeah, I was so mad. And then Cabbage informed me. He's like, no, they're humans that have lived on and they've got rid of guns and switched to stone. There's this whole thing. They are humans from Earth originally, which is why his name's Duncan Idaho, which made it a better movie for me. But I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I thought it was an awesome show.
Yeah. The performances were all really good.
Very
like, great cast.
Very well cast. There was a couple of times, though, when Timothée Chalamet, who I love, absolutely love, and all what he does, but there was some things where I was like, there was a few lines and a few montages where he was teaching somebody something, or what was he doing?
Teaching somebody.
He was talking with his mom, or
when they were
abandoned in the desert.
In the tent?
Yeah, and I was like, oh, it was kind of flat. It was kind of bad. I was like, oh, I wonder why that is.
I don't know if I'm sold on him, if I'm being honest.
You know what's weird is he's so young, and he's like Leonardo DiCaprio. It's like, because we're way older now. Like, we're in our late, I'm 41,
so
you're 37.
We're waiting for him to grow up. And,
well, my dad hated Leo DiCaprio because he looked like a kid for so long.
Yeah.
Right? My dad's like, he can't even grow a beard. And, like, he was like mad about it. You know what I mean? But now, you know, like years later, and I think that's the same with Chalamet, is that he just needs to be able to grow a beard.
Yeah.
Then he'll really hit his stride.
Yeah. Speaking of him, on the same weekend that Dune was released, French Dispatch was released, which he's also in.
Right.
He's the lead in one of the short stories, because that movie's like four short stories.
Right.
And I was like, even on that, I was like, I don't know. Like, I saw Dune, and then I saw him in that, and I was like, I don't know.
He's a good actor.
I think he is a good actor. I think personally, I'm just like, yeah, I don't know.
Don't know what to like him.
I'm not there yet.
No, you don't have to.
I thought he was good, though. I thought he was good in Dune. And I love Rebecca Ferguson.
She was great.
She's a great actress.
Oh, was she ever good.
Yeah.
Holy Dinah.
And Oscar Isaac.
Yeah, always a pleasure.
Josh Brolin, our close personal friend.
Yeah, he is. He kind of is. Could you imagine being in that feature club? Like, there's like that club.
You know? He's in that club.
Oh, he's in it for sure.
Yeah,
it's like Ryan Reynolds, Oscar Isaac, The Rock. Like, there's like, I mean, I'm not naming like excellent. No, but you know
I don't
what
think
I mean.
You
like,
put The Rock in there.
Tim Chalamet. they just do like the feature films.
Yeah, The Rock.
The Rock's not doing a TV. Although he did do that show Billionaires or whatever.
Yeah, he was in that for a while.
Yeah, you're right. No, but you know what
did
I
you
mean.
You see that meme of The Rock where it's like there's four pictures of him and like this is four
I
different
sent
movies.
That. Yeah, I sent that to our group. Yeah. Our pin pals.
I'm like, to be fair, two of them are Jumanji and Jumanji 2, where he's the same character. But I do understand the...
Okay, did you see, not to get sidetracked, but did you see Jumanji 2?
I did.
Did you see when he tried to act like other people?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I just painful. Distracted myself by Awkwafina acting like Danny DeVito.
She was the only one who could do it.
I thought she was hilarious.
She's the only one who could do that.
Yeah.
She's the only one in that cast, besides Jack Black, obviously, who has the ability of an actor to act
like someone
to
else.
To take it. Like, The Rock just plays himself, which is fine. And he's rode that train for a long time. That's fine. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We could get into a whole nother episode about this.
About The Rock?
Yes. God, no. I don't want to do an episode of The Rock. But imagine being in that feature club where you're like Adam Driver, Oscar Isaac.
Yep.
All you get is offers to do these like amazing movies. Tim Chalamet is like, what is he booked for the next 10 years?
Yeah, probably.
He probably is.
Yeah.
Right? With like, you know.
Well, he's in
everything.
It's that club.
It's like the Denis Villeneuve. The fucking Gus Van Sant, you know, like all these fucking movies that come out that are so good. And everybody wants to be in that level, right? At least actors anyways.
Yeah.
I don't know about crew.
Okay, back to Dune.
Yeah, Dune.
Sorry.
So good.
I can tell we're getting cut off. We're getting on our sidetracks.
We always do.
So Dune. So, okay, you know what I really liked about it? And especially if you've seen the David Lynch version, I felt like that Denis took like a kind of a page out of Terry Gilliam's book, where the costumes and the art direction is like just a little bit weird.
Right.
Did you notice that? Like the costumes are very extravagant, yet...
Well, the whole world is to me.
Yeah, and I really liked that because David Lynch kind of tapped into that, and I thought that worked back then, and it still works
now. In the book, like, do they describe any of how people look and stuff like that?
I don't really remember. Right. I don't really remember. I don't think they did, really.
Because, like, the women, whatever they are, the witch women or whatever.
Yeah.
Like the giant foreheads and stuff. Like, yeah. Was that a costume choice?
Or, yeah, I think it was.
Like, that just came with the illustrations.
I mean, I'll stand corrected if anyone wants to send us an email or that I never check. Or check our message. Instagram, which I also never check anymore.
You don't?
It stopped connecting to mine. That's another topic. That's another discussion. But I really liked that style, like all the styles were, you know, like House Harkonnen and House Atreides.
Yeah.
To look so different. And then what are the other guys? The fighter guys, the
Drek, or what are they called?
You know, they come. Yeah. They're like another.
The wrestler guy, the bald guys.
No, he was Harkonnen. There was like, they like conscripted this like army planet to come down. Saladur or something. It sounds like salamander, but it's not.
I kind of like it better than Star Wars. Is that bad?
No.
Am I going to catch heat for that?
I don't think so.
I don't really like Star Wars that much.
I don't think so. I think this has a more...
It's more dramatic.
It's more dramatic. It's more grounded because the story is more political. Like, Star Wars pretends to... Like, they play at politics.
Well, and you know what in Dune they didn't do? Sneak around.
It was a little bit of sneaking.
But they had to because they were fleeing.
They weren't sneaking on ships.
They weren't.
Oh, no, they were sneaking on ships.
When?
They snuck onto that ship and flew away into the storm.
Yeah, but that was a small, single-person ship.
Right.
That they had to
They stole that ship. They didn't sneak onto a giant space station.
Because they had been attacked and totally fucked over.
Yeah.
By those other guys, those scary guys.
Yeah.
And they stole that ship, flew into that fucking storm, almost died, then landed in the desert. Then they had to go into that underground world that these people already, that's their whole existence, is living like that in the desert darkness, whatever they do, right?
Yeah.
The desert people, what are they called again?
I can't remember either. We should have done some research. Zendaya and Javier
Bardem.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, we knew that.
Yeah.
Zendaya's a friend of ours.
Yeah, close and personal friend. Exactly. Sang me happy birthday.
She would remember us.
Yeah.
For sure. Yes, <she did. laughs> No, but that's what I fucking hate about Star Wars.
Yeah.
Enough with the sneaking around.
I know.
Cut it out.
I know you
Especially
hate
the
it.
New, the newest three ones.
This is a great transition because we're already getting into it. Let's transition to things that you hate, which is the James Bond franchise.
Okay.
But you broke the curse. No Time to Die.
Why are they always like this?
I was so shocked that you went to see that.
You know what's funny?
You liked it.
And I fucking loved it.
You did, didn't you?
Can you believe that?
I can't really believe that.
You know why? Because it was a bit self-deprecating.
Yeah.
And it didn't take itself too seriously.
Yep.
But then at the end, you're like, oh, fuck. Wow, I didn't see that coming.
So we probably will spoil it. Do you want to keep that ending?
I don't know.
In case people haven't seen it. I mean, it's been out for a few months now.
Yeah, I mean, people must have heard.
Yeah. So
I just don't know what happens after this.
Well, I don't know either because it's Daniel Craig's last one.
So that's why they killed him.
Well, there's your spoiler. Well, here's the thing that I wanted to talk about because I've been reading the original James Bond novels. By Ian Fleming. The last 2 years I've been reading them bit by bit. I just finished reading the 11th book, which is On Her Majesty's Secret Service,
right?
Which was made in 69 with George Lazenby as James Bond, the one that he only did one.
Was that the first one?
No, that was the seventh movie.
Sean Connery. Who was the first Bond?
Sean Connery.
And then it was George Lazenby.
George Lazenby did
that. Then it was Pierce Brosnan.
No, then it was Roger Moore.
Oh, Roger Moore.
Then Timothy Dalton, then Pierce Brosnan.
Oh, Tim Dalton. Oh, yeah. Boy.
So anyway, on Her Majesty's Secret Service, I just read that book, and I hadn't seen the movie in so long. I couldn't really remember. I knew it was like it took place in the snow.
Oh.
So in that book, Bond meets the woman of his dreams. Like, he finally meets I was talking to Marie about this. The character of James Bond in the books is way different than he's been portrayed in the movies.
It's more of a hopeless romantic.
He is kind of. No, he is. He's looking for a wife, and he kind of struggles with his job. He views himself as a civil servant. He was a commander in the war, the Second World War, and he's like grappling with the new idea of espionage. Like, it's not a thing, right? He's just like, what is this job that I do?
Well, okay, that's the interesting part about those wars is that's where it all started. I mean, not really how it started, but it's sort of escalated.
Yeah, the idea of like intelligence officers and like spying and stuff.
But before, anyway, it was just imposters and, wasn't it? Just duping and stuff.
Exactly.
Like that. Right.
So, and then in the book, so he meets this woman and he's like, this is the woman. I'm going to quit the service. I'm going to settle down with this woman.
Right.
And they do, and she gets killed by Spectre.
Oh,
so what they did is they took that story and they reversed it.
Right.
And they kind of played on it, which was really cool because it had all of the overall story arcs of that story, that book, but kind of role reversed it so that Bond does the sacrifice to let her live, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah, so I don't know what it was. It was like from front to back. There wasn't too much misogyny. Number one, there wasn't too much just like stupid, campy. Like, that's what I don't like about Bond is like the gadgets and the
keys. Yeah, you know, but they kind of did. Like, they kind of did away with that in the Daniel Craig
era
reboot. Yeah.
But maybe and I just kind of haven't seen it. Maybe it's just like the amount of motorcycling, jumping off of bridges, then onto rooftops.
But you gotta have those stunts, man.
But I felt like the stunts were a little bit toned down.
They were actually in this one. They were toned down. They were cool, but they were toned down.
I found it a little bit more believable, and I found it had more heart. And I found it was more from an authentic storytelling.
I agree.
Place.
It was more about him as a person.
And see, I didn't even know about Spectre, but I kind of jumped into this Bond like last, you know, whatever. I have not seen one since the Halle Berry one with the guy with the fucking icicle face.
Well, no wonder you fucking hate James Bond.
Yeah. So it's like, so.
If you're holding them up to that one.
What was that one called?
I think that one is The World Is Not Enough.
The world is not enough.
That was Garbage that did that.
Really?
That theme song. Remember Garbage?
Yeah, I remember Garbage. For those of you out there who are but a little the age of 35, there was a band called Garbage.
Yeah, and they were asked to do the James Bond title song.
Of the worst one.
Like, can you believe that?
This one was Billie Eilish.
Billie Eilish, yeah.
I don't know. You know how some movies, you just go in the theater and you sit down and the thing starts and you're just like, the tone of it just grabs you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like you have no choice but to be involved in this story for the next 2 hours, right? And that's what this did to me. Yeah. I never once was like, oh, the Bond. Like, when he did the martini thing too, I felt like that was kind of
natural. Yeah, they did a few throwaway tongue-in-cheek. Like, that's kind of what I liked about the Daniel Craig ones is in each one, they do these tongue-in-cheek kind of like winks at or like reversals of the old tropes.
Yeah.
I can't remember which one it is where he orders a vodka martini and the guy's like, do you want it shaken or stirred? And he goes, do I look like I give a damn? And you're like, that's kind of fun. Like, you know, it's.
I enjoyed that.
Whatever.
And in this one, they were in Cuba for that part and it was.
Jamaica.
Were they in Jamaica?
Yeah. Jamaica is where Ian Fleming lived.
Oh, I thought they were in Cuba. Anyway. When he meets Anna, whatever her name is.
I was sad that she wasn't in it more. I thought she was going to come back later.
Yeah, it was kind of like a cameo action sequence.
It was sort of like, hey, can we get Anna in the movie because we just did Knives Out together?
And let's be realistic, Rami Malek is a good actor.
He's a great actor. He played a really good villain.
Yeah. Because
he kind of wasn't in it a lot, though.
He wasn't, but you felt, I felt like I like when villains have a weakness, when they have a little bit of vulnerability. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, they're not like perfect villains.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess they never are because they always lose usually. Although in this one, he didn't really. But I just felt like he wasn't like completely like monologuing and just, you know, there was more substance to him.
There was.
Right.
Did he get away?
He died. We should do these after we watch
them. How did he die? Did they throw him in the acid thing?
Didn't he take the poison? Yeah, he drank some poison or fell down and half his mouth went in there.
He fell down. Yeah, he died. He fell down.
Isn't that... You know, I watched this movie in the fucking drive-in, dude. I watched it in the drive-in.
I don't remember how he died. How he...
I went to the drive-in for the second time in my life.
That's pretty cool.
And I watched James Bond.
You're...
You know what? I'd recommend going to that drive-in. It is cool.
Yeah, cool. I should.
It's cool. Like
I've never been.
You know what's funny is I didn't expect it to be as fun as it was. Because here's what you can do. Lay down in your car, stuff your face. Well, I mean, you do that in the theater. But you can lay down in your car and just fucking... Just idle the car. It's not exactly the most environmentally friendly thing, but...
You can honk.
The windshield wipers were on the whole time. Because it was raining, right?
You can flick your high beams.
And for those of you, you know, out there who are tragically unvaccinated, you can go without having to do that.
Right.
Right.
Just a reminder that you can get vaccinated.
You can.
And you should.
And you should.
You should get vaccinated.
Don't be scared. Nothing happened to me and Clayton.
Do you have any other notes on Bond? On Bond?
Well, I feel like it was a nice farewell piece to Daniel Craig. I'm interested to see where they go with it. And yeah. I thought it was great. I don't know. People love
it. Maybe we should just end it.
People love James Bond, dude.
People love movies.
Okay.
Let's talk about Last Duel.
Okay. You want to save Ghostbusters for last?
Yeah. Because I have the most to talk about.
Really? That one. Yeah. Okay. All right. Sure. The Last Duel by Ridley Scott.
This one was not... I don't think this was a movie that was bumped for COVID, but we both saw it. And it was kind of a big powerhouse release, right? Because...
Well, it was supposed to be.
Matt Damon, Jodie Comer...
Ben Affleck.
Who else?
The kid from The End of the Fucking World. Oh, yeah. I love that kid.
Yeah.
He played the king of England.
He's hardly in it, but it's worth... Every shot of him is gold.
Yeah, totally.
Who
else was in it? Adam Driver.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking about the Future Club. Duh. Of course he's in it.
Adam Driver, right. He's like one of the two guys.
He was great.
Yeah, when I saw the trailer, I was like, okay, A, what's with Matt Damon's hair?
Yeah.
B, what's with Ben Affleck's hair?
When I saw the movie, I was like, B, what's with Ben Affleck's hair and eyebrows?
Yeah.
Why did they have to dye it blonde?
I don't know. And Matt Damon's hair, I was like, okay, I get it.
Yeah, it's just a way that men probably wore their hair.
Yeah, it worked out.
For certain.
He also had this weird, like, I don't know if he was doing it with his face, but he had this weird grimace.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
I'm remembering it.
Can you see me out?
I think it was a character choice.
Yeah, it's like he stuck out his lower jaw or something.
Well, it's purpose. A true story.
Yeah.
This fucking thing, right?
Yeah.
I liked that part of it. As we all know, Geordie loves true stories.
You love a true story. It's true.
This was no exception.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Because to me, it was a window into how politics and the class system mm-hmm. was back then regarding certain scenarios that certain movies don't really explain that. Like, it's more about the love story or whatever, right? Whereas this wasn't a love story.
No.
But at the end, you're like, oh, okay, like, I guess it kind of was. But was he defending himself or was he defending her?
No, it had nothing to do with her. I think that was the point.
Yeah, like, he was just fighting him.
He was just fighting him for his own glory and his own reputation.
But what a fucking story, though, right?
Yeah, and I don't know if this is true, but this is my speculation. Because that conflict went to court.
Yeah.
The court of the time. This must be the records of that, right?
I mean, there's no photography or paintings of it.
No. So, because it's each of their points of view, right?
Yeah.
Their account.
So interesting to me how they did that.
Yeah.
Like to shoot it like that, to script it that way. I mean, you need a good director to fucking do that. Mm-hmm. And Ridley Scott, I think, did a good job. I mean, many other people could have done it, but I loved how at the end when they finally get to her side of it and it kind of says like the truth.
Yeah.
And it's like, cause yeah, this is probably what actually happened.
Exactly. Right? Cause it doesn't have anything to do with like,
yeah,
the
ego.
And, yeah.
Cause she was the real victim.
Yeah.
At the time, especially when you're treated like property.
Yeah. Well, she was property.
And it was so fucked. Cause it was like, it wasn't even a crime against her. It was a crime against him. What happens in the show is Adam Driver's character sexually assaults Jodie Comer's character,
who is married to Matt Damon, who was given to her to
Matt Damon by her father. Was she not?
They married
as an agreement.
Yeah, because his name, he has like a noble name, and then he gets a dowry, which is a big chunk of land.
Yeah.
And then he doesn't get a part that he wants to get, which is her land. Like,
yeah, but then
that
Ben
goes
Affleck's
to Adam Driver. Anyway, it's like, it's kind of muddled almost on purpose because there's just sort of a beef that develops kind of almost out of like a miscommunication and then leads to this sexual assault.
And it's supposed to take place in France, in 14th century France, I believe.
Sure.
I believe that's what it was.
All right. I'll believe you.
No, but it was interesting how they went with the fact that they just spoke in
English.
Old English accents. Yeah. Like, I feel like that's like a weird meeting that they have. Because they're like, okay, well, we're not going to try and do French accents in English.
Well, it's an American movie.
Yeah, it's an American movie.
Which is, that's weird
but,
in
I mean,
itself.
It's funny how in that, like in that context, you have to make that decision when you're going to make these movies, right? Like they had to do it with everything. Like they had to do with Robin Hood, Prince Thieves. Yeah. Like Kevin Costner was the only one who didn't even have an old English accent. He just talked like himself, right? Christian
like
Slater, everybody else had English accents.
Pennsylvania accent.
And he's like, is this heaven? No, this is fucking Nottingham Forest. You know what I mean? But it's like, where in this did they go, okay, because they still had to say the names, like Jean de Caville or whatever his name was.
Yeah, all their names were French.
Yeah, and it's like, but it doesn't do any other, I don't know. It's a strange thing. But I guess for an American audience, for a, you know.
It's a global movie. People
it didn't do well.
People in France can speak English.
But you know what? The last duel didn't do well. Theater. The box office.
Well done. Bravo. No, it didn't. I just don't think many people are interested in a story that of that nature right now. And that setting, that is what I mean. Like medieval times.
Bugs me though. It bugs me.
Of course it bugs you.
Because people want to go see fucking Eternals.
Yeah.
And they want to see fucking stupid Avengers with this stupid thing. You have no idea what has happening. Yeah. And the goddamn thing. But this is a real story. Great film.
It is a really good film. It's uncomfortable in a lot of places.
Very much so.
Great performances. And I loved how it felt very accurate to the time.
Very, I thought,
you
too.
You know how, like, we sort of cartoonize the
battles and such?
Yeah, but even the period, like, you know, it's that stupid, like, what's the background going to do? And they're always, like, carrying logs.
Fucking
like,
roasting.
They can't think of anything, but this felt like they actually did the research being like, what did people do back then?
Well, and that's the part that I liked about it, too, is it made me think about, you know, back then versus now. Because the stories that we hear from back then are always stories about the noblemen or the queens
and
the duchesses and stuff like this, right? Well, you don't know. I mean, Downton Abbey does that, but you never hear the stories about like the fucking bozo who just whatever makes fires or fucking cranks out swords or a blacksmith story or whatever. You know what I mean? Like a fishmonger.
Yeah. You know well, and these guys are both they kind of started as not much, right? Like, they're not royalty or anything.
No, but they were like they're fierce soldiers who and then, got money because of that, wasn't it?
Yeah, and like Adam Driver kind of sidles up to
Ben Affleck's character.
Ben Affleck's not the king. Who is he?
He's like the fucking he's like a premier. He's like the John Horgan.
Yeah, he's of like his some area. Lower official.
He's not. He's under the king, but he's yeah. above everybody in his. Because it was split up like that, right?
Yeah, he takes a liking to Adam Driver's character, and then Matt Damon becomes a knight.
Yes.
During a battle, which is such an awkward scene.
I know. There was a lot of awkward, Matt, like embarrassing.
Yeah, because he's sort of like a.
He's kind of a dorky guy.
Yeah, he's sort of a dunce.
Like that's what I liked about it, though. I liked it.
Which is why I think his haircut worked, because you kind of like, you're like.
He's kind of a fool.
What are you doing, man? Like, what is your deal?
I know, Adam Driver was all like flowy and fucking yeah. perfect.
I liked mustache. The scene where he comes back and Adam Driver's talking to him and he's like, that's twice you have not called me, sir.
Oh, yeah.
Sir. So he kept saying sir, and it's just like, oh, man, he really wants to be called by his title.
But that fucking last duel scene with the brutal. Snow and the goddamn fight
yeah.
when he killed him?
Yeah.
Dude.
Spoilers, the last duel features a duel.
The last duel. And it was it's intense.
It is intense. Fucking I thought intense. About that like when they finally get to it. I was like, man, imagine coordinating this. Like, it's kind of brutal. Like, it's not fancy fighting.
God, no. It's like, not it is a knight's tale.
It is, like, the most brutal, like, kind of...
When he kills him, I'm not going to say who kills who, because that's kind of a big
like,
spoiler.
You know when you see a scuffle in real life, how it's, like, so messy?
It's not...
It's like that.
Dude, it's like when you watch UFC fights. Those are the best fighters in the world, and it's not... Man, no. It's not fancy at all. It's fucking,
just sort of just like, oh, God.
It's a bunch of fucking hugging, happen? And they get yeah. tired so quick. Could you imagine fighting with all that shit on,
fuck,
too?
There's probably armor? Like 150 pounds of armor and stuff dude. Hanging off of them, right? The chainmail. I
mean, they did glorify it to an extent, but the way that he dies and the way that he kills them, oh, my God.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal.
I was like, whoop.
So if you're squeamish or you don't like violence, maybe not the movie for you.
But if you love violence, it's the movie for you.
If you can deal with it for a good story, it's
you
definitely
love violence,
worth it.
Depressing 14th century life.
Yeah, if you like gray,
sexual assault. What else is in it?
Just the color gray. A lot of gray. Yeah,
lots of dismal gray.
Yeah, just like gray skies, gray stone.
Because that's what you know. Colors. What I mean? Like, I feel like people that live now, like we have our. Like little colorful lives, and I feel like the thing, like there's a lot of stuff that's reappearing right now with history and what happened and things, and like when I watch a movie like The Last Duel, I'm like, I don't think that things were like really good for anybody back then.
No, they weren't.
Like it kind of sucked for everybody except for the fucking Ben Affleck characters yeah. that were those guys that were like having orgies and shit. I'm sure it was great for them.
Yeah.
But everybody else, like the disease, the deaths, the wars, the killing, it was just horrible. Like just horrible lives.
Not much has changed.
Yeah.
You just have the internet.
I know, but now it's like people can just sit there and we can go to the grocery store.
We have distractions now. That's the difference.
Yeah, a lot of them.
Speaking of distractions.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you want to talk about Ghostbusters?
Oh, God. Yeah, I do want to talk about Ghostbusters.
Are you done with The Last Duel? I don't really have much else to say about it.
I loved it.
It was good. I won't watch it again. It's one of those movies where I was like, yeah, it's good.
I remember it. It made an impression on me.
It made an impression on me, too. Yeah. Very visual.
Okay, but Ghostbusters, what did you think?
Ghostbusters. Oh, you know what we didn't talk about is Free Guy.
Oh. Was that a delayed release?
I think it was.
We could talk about it. We could bonus that on at the end of this.
I just thought of Jodie Comer, and I was like, oh, yeah, Free Guy.
She was great. She's great.
A little bonus?
Although, you know what's funny is her and Maya Hawke are very similar, and I hope that doesn't affect one of the other's career, because I think they're both great.
What's Maya Hawke in?
She was in Stranger Things. She's Ethan Hawke and Uma Thurman's daughter.
Oh.
And she's great. She was in Stranger Things Season 3. She's probably been in a few other things. I just can't remember right off the top of my head, but...
She worked at the ice cream store?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and she's great. She's an up-and-coming actress. Oh, she's okay. A lot like Jodie Comer, though. They're like the same person.
Right.
You know what I mean? How that happens. And
yeah, there's always that. Yeah. Yeah.
One's affordable, one's not.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say who is where.
Free Guy.
You want to do Free Guy before Go? Okay.
Yeah,
okay,
let's just right. do Free Guy real quick. I liked it.
I liked it too.
Okay, that's it. No, just kidding.
I love Laurel. I don't know what it is about that guy. I just love him.
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds plays himself. He's been playing himself a lot.
It works.
But it's this, working. For this character, really worked.
Yeah.
I like the idea of a game character becoming self-aware.
Yeah, it was a little like Truman Show video game version.
Yes, very much
so. I didn't like Taika Waititi as the villain.
Neither did I.
That and was you the said
only
that,
thing that took me out of
you
it.
Said that to me before I watched it, and I was like, I agree.
Yeah, it was just something about...
I don't believe it.
I don't like him as an asshole.
Yeah.
There's just something about it. I just doesn't sit well with me.
No, it doesn't work for me.
Is there something about... I never want to villainize a person from New Zealand ever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I just can't view them that way. Yes. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Like Aussies, sure. Although, Americans, of course. Although, Canadians, probably.
Isn't Carl Urban... from New Zealand?
But he was never a villain.
Wasn't he in...
Yeah, he was a villain in something. Some sort of movie. Not Lord of the Rings, though.
No.
He was the fucking cool guy in Lord of the Rings that came in from the West with his band of...
Yeah, the cool guy.
What was his name? Fuck.
The only cool guy. Who is he? He played Bones in Star Trek, right?
Yes.
Who am I thinking? The villain in the first Star Trek?
He's been the villain of something. You're thinking Eric Bana.
Eric Bana.
He's Ozzy.
Oh. Okay, because they're both in that Star Trek movie, and I was shocked to find out that.
Eric Bana's so good. Where's he been?
I don't know.
He did that fucking Dirty John series, which is great.
You love that.
It was great. I mean, I don't expect people, because there's so much good TV out there right now, that it's so hard to...
Yeah, why would you watch that when there's four seasons of The Great Canadian Bake Show on Netflix?
Dude, there's so much good TV. It's not even worth recommending to people, because people are just going to fall upon what they fall upon.
They're just going to watch what they're going
to
watch.
And that's what they're going to latch onto.
Let's just...
That's a whole other episode.
In 2022, let's just stop recommending things.
Yeah, I think
everyone's on their own, okay? Yeah.
You know what? Because that's what your TV does for you.
I'll tell you what I think of something, and if you've seen it, then we can talk. But I'm not going to recommend anything.
Here's what I'm going to say,
though. No one's watching the recommendations.
Here's what I'm going to say right now about quickly, because we've gone off topic, but that's okay, about American television right now. And... not so much British. We're going to have Sarah on in a couple weeks or something for British TV. But not in British TV, but in American TV, there's this whole like, I don't even know how to describe it into words, but just work with me here,
okay?
Because it might be a little all over the place. But
all right,
there's this whole TV formula now,
yeah,
which is like this serious like American business scenario. Where there's like the head of the network or like the head of something and his family or like, have you seen The Morning Show?
I haven't seen it, no.
Have you seen Yellowstone?
No.
Have you seen Succession?
No.
Okay, well, all these shows are that. They're like this super rich powerhouse people, House of Cards. Like, you know, there's so many of them where it's just like this, like we're American people and we're so intense and we're so cutthroat and we're so cynical and we're so fucking edgy and we swear, but we also have a soft side because we have kids, but like we're a shark tank and like this isn't, and it's kind of getting old to me.
But it's been working, right? So everyone's
everyone's replicating. It's great. It's great. You know what I mean? Like, I love it. It's great television. It's great drama. It's great theater, but I'm kind of tired of it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, it's just too much now. It's like, okay, can we flick it, the dial?
It's funny that you say that, because I've been sort of avoiding a lot of those shows because of that. Cause I'm just like, I get this feeling I'm not going to be as into it as everyone else. Cause I just feel like I'm looking for something different right now. Marie and I have been watching Dark on Netflix, the German show. Wow, man.
Maybe I'll just sit close and watch it.
Dude, wow. That good show. Yeah. And it's just like, there's so many levels to it.
What is it about?
I can't even describe it. Like, if I try and describe it to you, I feel like you'll be like, that sounds dumb.
Okay.
But it's
just
like,
try. Just give me one.
It's about a small town in Germany where
they live in the dark.
No. This boy goes missing.
Oh.
And there's a cave. And then they find another body of a different boy. And it's just like, do you remember Broadchurch?
Yeah.
It's kind of like that, but with like a sci-fi. So it's kind of
Grace Point, but not terrible?
Yeah, but it's got a sci-fi twist to it because it's about a time loop.
Oh.
And because Marie was trying to explain it to me before we started watching it. And I was like, okay, it sounds interesting, but I didn't quite get what she meant. And now that I'm watching it, I was like, oh, she explained it really well. It's just so complex.
Okay.
That it's like you start the story and you're sort of introduced and it just sort of peels back the layers of this time loop. And you're sort of left wondering, like, where does it begin? Like, is there a beginning and ending, or is it just an ever, like
Palm Springs?
Yeah, like, well.
Although that did have an ending.
Kind. It's not like a Groundhog Day time loop. It's like things have already happened and people are trying to figure it out, but like events are already in progress. Like, it's not like they wake up every day and it's the same day.
Right.
Right? All these characters are experiencing a linear timeline, but there's some things that have happened where, like, these boys they go into the cave and they go missing, and then this other boy shows up from, like, the 80s, who was missing in the 80s but shows up now.
Okay.
Temporary. It's so confusing. You're regretting me explain it, I can tell.
No, I was going to make a comment about something else, but I can't because of the NBA. Right.
it's not really like that. But it's the show, like, I kept remarking when we were watching it about, like, this is a kind of show where it's like you always say, this show was made in prep. Like, they talked everything out. Right. Everything is planned out. Like, where all the characters were at what exact time. Because it's a murder mystery on top of it all, right?
Right.
And there's detectives, and there's, like, really good motifs, good use of color as symbolism.
So it's kind of like what Man in the High Castle could have been.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing that Dan Percival had nothing to do
with
it.
No, he was not.
Oh, that's interesting. That's interesting.
He was not involved.
Very interesting how that is. That's kind of a dickhead thing to say.
We haven't finished the first season, but apparently there's more than one season. And we're both kind of being like, how did they, like, they must have planned to have another season because this is so well thought out, this season one, the way it develops and the way they reveal everything
right.
bit by bit, that I'm like, fuck, I don't, like, you couldn't just tack on a season two.
Right.
Right? So I'm hoping that season two isn't garbage.
Well, that's the hard part, though, right?
Who knows?
It's the season twos. It's the sophomore album, right?
But this is the kind of, like, I also was looking at it and thinking, like, oh, you know when you watch TV, like, you know it's Vancouver, you know it's Atlanta, you know it's LA, yeah. Right? Blah, blah, blah.
This
show, it's like, it's small town Germany, and they do it in different time periods. So you see it in now, and then you see the same locations in the 80s. And like, they took the time to, like, there's a school, right? Like the high school, and they go back to the high school in the 80s. And it's like, you know, it's the same school, but they've changed, like, they repainted it.
Right.
And it actually looks different, like it, but the same. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's so much detail.
Kind of like your bathroom.
Yeah, like my bathroom. Exactly.
When I went in, and I was like,
that's what it looked like in 1986.
Something's different in here.
But they take so much time to do these, like, little details, and they don't overdo the 80s. Like, you know, in America.
Yeah, it's just like.
Like in Stranger Things season 3, it's like everyone's got, like, the fucking zigzag neon windbreaker, and you're like, not everyone wore that.
Well,
right?
Not everybody did. I did.
But everybody did. I did have one of those too.
I was covered head to toe in fluorescent.
Were you?
Yeah.
the windbreaker that had, like, the different panels. It was like,
well, I had a Sun Ice winter jacket that was fluorescent, and then I had fluorescent Sorel boots.
Oh my god!
And I had,
of course,
what else? What did I not have? I had fucking everything. I had a mullet with spiked hair.
One more thing about Dark is the casting is so good.
Okay, well, now I gotta watch it in sitcoms. So good. I fucking hate subtitles, though, Clayton.
I know, it's hard. There is a dubbed version on Netflix, because that's why I didn't watch it.
I'm just gonna watch it dubbed.
At first, I couldn't watch it, because I couldn't figure out how to turn the dubbed off and the subtitles on.
Here's what we do. Me and you start a company. I shouldn't say this, okay? Our streaming service for Apple Watches fell through.
Well, we're still working on that.
We're still
beta testing that.
We're still trying to find angel investors. But no, we start a service where we fucking dub movies with proper thing. Like, why is it so bad?
Because always. The timing doesn't work. Because, like, this show, because it's German, they talk really quick. And
but can't you just find language. Some sort of actors that can do it properly or something?
I don't know, man.
And then just do
it'll
like,
never line up to the mouth. That's the problem.
Well, can't they do, you know how they do the thing with the face? What's that called again?
Like a deep fake?
Yeah, a deep fake mouth.
Oh. I wonder, isn't
there's got to be some technology.
That's so interesting that they haven't done that yet, because they probably could do that for pretty cheap.
I think we should rethink cutting this part out for our business idea.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it bugs me so much. It needs to
be
fixed.
I can't watch dubbed movies. I can't.
But I can't read.
I can't do it.
I can't read. I've told you, I cannot read.
I know. And there are some movies that I've watched in the last couple of years where I've had to like start and stop the movie the whole way through because they talk so quickly and the subtitles are too quick.
But then you're just reading. You're not looking at it.
I know. And then it's like, you got, like, I want to rewatch Parasite without the subtitles now that I know
what
story
happens.
Because that movie was so beautifully yeah. shot, like cinematically it's a masterpiece.
That's what bugs me, because I'm always aware of the fact that I'm reading.
Yeah,
it's like, you know when you start to be aware of the fact that you're breathing, and then for like 10 minutes you're like
yeah,
I'm breathing and I'm aware of it.
Yeah, and then you're having a hard time breathing.
Yeah, and then you're
you're like, well, how do you
talk and
how
breathe?
Fast are you supposed to breathe?
I hate it, dude. And it lasts for about 10 minutes.
Now we're both going to do it for the rest of the podcast. Okay.
Free Guy.
Free
Guy.
Yeah, right. Fuck, I talked about Dark for like 10 and a half minutes.
That's okay. People love it.
Free Guy
was great.
Super fun. Like great ways to do like really funny gags.
Lots of funny gags. Lots of funny references. Mm-hmm. Lots of funny, interesting... how do you even say it? It's like ideas and marriages between video games and films that haven't been done yet.
Yeah.
Which I liked that aspect of it. Like things you're like, yeah, that could happen. And no one's actually thought of that yet. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like that becoming like an archetype, because it's going to be an archetype at some point where it's like video games becoming self-aware,
right.
AI,
yeah.
This metaverse, right? Like what happens?
Yeah.
I guess Matrix and all that. There's a new Matrix coming out too.
Yeah. Why? Why?
The preview looks okay.
I don't know. It's just, do you remember seeing the Matrix the first time? How mind-blowing
the first
that
one?
Was?
Yeah.
You were just like, what? You'd never seen anything like it. Now it's like, I don't know. It's not going to be, there's no way that they can make it that same feeling. Do you know what I mean?
I don't know. I mean, I don't. I have faith in Lana Wachowski, like as a
I'm sure
creator.
It'll do well and it'll be okay. It's just like that.
But didn't he die?
Neo?
Yeah.
I don't know. Isn't it supposed to be like he's been in a?
I thought Neo died in the
simulation,
third one.
And I don't think I've ever seen the third one. Actually, now that I think about
it, I saw them. Ah, fuck, dude. That was so long ago,
now
man.
I think about
that
it.
Was in 2004.
What's the one with the big rave?
That's the second one, I think.
That's the only, yeah.
In Zion?
Yeah.
The big Zion rave?
And then which one
the
is the one
pill
where
rave.
There was like the guy with the white dreadlocks?
That was in Lord of the Rings. So Ghostbusters.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So since I know this is a dear movie too close to your heart.
Yeah. Yeah, let's move on to Ghostbusters. And I liked it, or maybe I wanted to like it.
Well, of course you wanted to like it. It's your fucking childhood,
you know,
movie redo.
Yeah.
Done.
So the things, I'll just say the things I liked about it.
Okay.
I liked the girl, the main girl.
She was great.
She was great. I was a little hesitant about her at the very start because it was like the first scene. And I was like, I don't know about this. But then everything after that, I was like, oh, she's freaking awesome. She's great. The scene where she tells the joke to Paul Rudd.
Yes, I needed like that. He's like, what was it about again?
He's talking about triangulating something, and she goes, "I thought you were being obtuse." Was that a geometry joke? And she goes, "Yes, that's why I winked." Like when she did that little wink, I was like, "That was so funny!" Like great delivery. I don't know how old she is. Pretty young.
She's great.
Finn Wolfhard. I'm like, meh.
He's going through puberty.
Yeah, and he played that role well. It's supposed to be
he's from Vancouver.
Yeah.
Like born and raised here.
Yeah, that's strange.
Not raised completely, but
Stranger Things. Wow. Yeah, like I thought it was weird that they just recycled the music from the original movie.
Yeah.
Like the score. Like they just basically reused it. But it also kind of lent its hand to recreating the tone.
That's what I thought they were trying to do.
Why they did it.
The problem is that they were trying to redo the tone of it, except for they were missing one very important factor of the first one.
What's that?
It took place in New York.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And it's like the big city and it's that, right? Yeah. Whereas this is a small town, Oklahoma, aka Calgary, Alberta. And they kind of like, okay, here's my take
on you're right
here's my take on it.
I didn't think about that, but you're right.
Jason Reitman,
son of Ivan Reitman,
when he directs movies that are small, like Juno, and
I forgot he did Juno.
Thank You for Smoking.
Oh, that's a good movie too,
right? I feel like that's his place in filmmaking.
Right, that's his wheelhouse.
Yeah, a small story, light jokes, character development, and I feel like his directing was lost on this.
Right.
That's just what I think.
I have this inclination that because it's Ghostbusters, and Graham kind of planted this seed in my head, because it's Ghostbusters, it's a franchise.
Yeah.
That they got a lot of sway and push from the studio.
Sure.
To incorporate marketing tie-ins, merchandising opportunities, etc.
Yep.
You know what I mean? They're like, we want to see the Ecto-1. We want to see proton packs and ghost traps. We want to see... Do you know what I mean?
But they didn't do that very well. Here's what it was lacking. The mom was terrible, for starters. That lady...
I thought the actress was good. I didn't like the character.
Yeah, or maybe it was that, how she was so...
I didn't like the way it was written.
And I feel, too, like the whole Egon thing, I felt like that was disjointed and that bumped for me because I feel like Egon's character wasn't, like, a bad guy.
No, if anything...
And then it was like...
He was the least likely to be that way, right?
Yeah, I thought Bill Murray more was, like that kind of cavalier guy who would, like, abandon his daughter kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
But I felt like... Okay... That I didn't like. The area that it was supposed to take place in, that town, I felt like that was underdeveloped. That they could have gone a lot more with those characters, the restaurant spinners.
Yeah.
There was no the ghosts were all over the place.
Well, the ghosts were
like, what the fuck were the ghosts?
One ghost that they find by happenstance that eats the metal.
Eats the metal. And I thought that was gonna be Slimer.
I thought it was going to be Slimer too.
Right? And then it was like all of a sudden there's this weird like pirate ghost or some fucking thing. And I'm like, these ghosts are so all over the place. Like the first one, the ghosts had like a theme.
Where did they come from?
Well, they came from like the fucking underworld or whatever. But like there was just more of a consistency to them.
Yeah.
And then I feel like the Zool thing. And I feel like Paul Rudd was lost in it and his... Yeah. And then, like, the Stay Puft little guys.
That was a nightmare. And when that Cabbage sent me that clip, they put a trailer out with those things in it. I was like, that's a commercial that they made separately. And I was wrong. That's in the movie. And I didn't understand that at all. Like, I did not get what that came from. Because if you've seen the first one, you know that the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man is just a manifestation of Zool. because Dan Aykroyd thinks about the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man because he's like, I wanted to think of something that could never possibly hurt me. But then he becomes this fucking monster, right? So
giant.
So monster. Why would the marshmallows become?
I feel like
they just wanted to fucking cram that in there, and I didn't like that.
Yeah, and it was just, and then
when I did like, as cheesy as it was, when she's like, "Don't I get a phone call?" and the guy's like, "Who are you gonna call?"
Yeah,
I was like, "Okay, I'll buy that. Okay, I'll let you have that one." That was cheesy, but you kind of got me off guard. I'll let you have it. But then she calls Ray because she calls the Ghostbusters number. Okay, first of all, that's a New York number. So is he still in New York?
He was, yeah.
Okay.
Then he had to go.
Why would he still have the same number?
Well, I mean.
And then also that whole monologue, that whole scene was so bad. Badly written.
Yeah.
Badly acted.
Yes.
Like.
And it was a misfire, dude.
It was a total misfire, and it was like...
The whole show was.
She's in jail. And he's like telling her about how... Like the whole backstory about Egon. I'm just like, this is not the right place for this information. Plus, earlier, like way earlier, Annie Potts makes a cameo as Janine.
Mm-hmm. Why didn't she answer?
Why didn't she have all that information? She was taking care of the place.
Yeah, it just didn't hit for me, man.
No,
it just didn't. Paul Rudd was a misfire. Everything was. The Ecto-1 and the fucking side door opening.
The
up
gunner seat, like that's never the gunner seat. That's never made an appearance before. I thought that was like maybe a reference to the real Ghostbusters, the cartoon, because I think there was a gunner seat in the toy.
Maybe
it's possible.
I had it.
Yeah, I
think I watched that cartoon more than anything.
Yeah, I watched that cartoon a lot too. But I have very vague.
The real Ghostbusters. That was
real Ghostbusters. That's right.
But see, that's why that works, is because in the 80s, in those days, you took these four schlubs, or one nerd and one, you know, three schlubs or whatever you want to call them, and you kind of like put this idea out there, and it was sort of tongue in cheek, and it was like kind of wacky, and then the Zool monsters were kind of hokey, and then Zool, the whatever that flat top person.
Yeah, in the bodysuit.
Yeah, and it's like they use like the same thing in this, but whereas I feel like it just didn't.
No,
it just didn't work.
You know? I don't know what it is, because we're fascinated by the 80s, our age group, right?
Yeah.
Like, how old is Jason Reitman? He's probably the same age as
us, 40 right? 40-something, yeah.
Yeah, so... Our age group is fascinated with the nostalgia of the 80s, but that era is gone. That era, that time in place in the world is gone. It doesn't exist anymore.
No.
So you can't just transplant those ideas into now.
That's what I'm saying.
It doesn't work.
Because back then, the hardships of those kids... And thus, like, finding this, like, ghost scenario in the middle of Oklahoma where this mountain was. Like, it just didn't...
No.
It doesn't
too
work.
Too many...
It's too much, like...
It's too many things.
Yeah, it was. It was. And the hologram of Ray at the end and stuff. Egon.
See, that actually got me. Like, when she's got the proton pack and she's blasting. And then the camera turns and you see the hand. I was like, oh...
But
I like that moment. I was like, that's great. And they recreated, you know, Harold Ramis. And I was like, that's beautiful. But then he was like around for way too long. And everyone's looking at him. And there's like interaction with him. I was like, okay, now you're breaking your own rules. Like, why can they touch him?
Yeah.
Why
is
that?
Well, he's a ghost? I don't know.
Why is that allowed? I feel like he should have showed up for that moment. And then as soon as they blasted the ghost... That he disappeared. Like they just saw him for a minute.
Right? It just felt unreal. It felt untethered.
It was
whipping in the wind.
And then it was like, you know, they show up and you're like, oh, cool. It's cool to see them again, right? The Ghostbusters.
And they're so old.
They're so old. But that didn't matter to me. But then it was like, it was just too much fluff. You know, like,
yeah.
They're like, everyone's got to have a moment. Like, Dan Aykroyd is actually the fan of podcasts. And like Bill Murray is like, we got to, let's go get a drink. And then Ernie Hudson's like talking to the Ecto-1. He's like, what'd they do to you, girl? And you're like, okay, we don't need all these little, like, I know it's great to have them there. And you probably paid them a lot of money to do it. But I don't think you need all those beats at the end.
It was,
that was like 20 full minutes of just like wrapping it up.
It was a mess, dude. It was. Nothing was, you know what I mean?
It was a huge continuity error too.
It was pissing in the wind.
When they were driving the Ecto-1 to the mountain and they had the lights going, and then there was like a big wide establishing and the lights were not going, and then they cut back and the lights were going, and I was like, that should have been fixed.
There was, yeah.
It's the fucking Ecto-1.
But you know what?
Those lights should always be going.
I went with the kids and they loved it.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, it's so good. So maybe we're just, maybe it's just
Ghostbusters.
I saw it when I was 4 years old.
The original one.
Yeah.
Yeah. When did it come out? 84?
84.
Yeah. Right. I was one.
Yes. You probably didn't see it until.
I didn't see it in the theaters. I think I saw it on TV. And then maybe saw the second one in the theater.
The opening scene where the woman's in the library.
Scary.
And screams. That scared the shit out of me. So scary. As a kid, dude. Scared the shit out of me.
That's so scary.
It was terrifying. That's what I mean. Like, they didn't have any, like, memorable ghosts.
No.
Just, you know, like, you got to have a Slimer
I thought
there.
That, yeah, you got to have Slimer. I thought that they were going to do, like, this is what I thought. When I saw the trailer, I was like, oh, okay. We all know it's Egon because Harold Ramis is dead. So it's Egon's old house. I thought that he had transferred the big ghost vault.
To there,
right? Because he's like, because they got, you know, evicted or whatever. And they've got all these ghosts contained. What are they going to do with them? So that he's buried him under that barn.
That's what I thought the whole half of the movie.
And then it would be like, he's dead, no one's taking care of it, and now they're escaping.
Yeah.
I'm like, why can't that be a movie? That's like, you know what? That should have been a Netflix series.
That would have been a better option.
The new Ghostbusters.
Did it do well? I don't think anything does really well at the theaters anymore.
No, like, I don't think.
You're not doing $100 million weekends.
Well, no, because like the theaters are all like limited capacity and...
Then people don't want to go back.
It's weird because there's some movies coming out that are strictly cinema only. I've seen that on trailers where like it's only in the
theater.
For
a time.
Yeah. It'll always come. They need that back end. They'll always sell it to Netflix or Prime or something, right?
I still feel like Netflix isn't. Although I saw a Sandra Bullock movie that was shot here the other day.
I heard that's pretty good.
It is quite good.
Is it? Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. I was...
Antlers is coming out soon.
It's not like a fucking, again, it's not like a memorable movie. It's called Unforgivable.
Okay.
Sandra Bullock. She plays a woman who killed this cop in Seattle and John Barenthal. And they did a good job of faking Seattle.
Oh, yeah.
For Vancouver. Although they do shots of Vancouver skyline.
Harbor Center is in there. The sales. And
yeah.
Yeah.
The fucking mountains. Revolving restaurant.
I don't think there's a restaurant up there anymore.
Well, there used to be a fucking mediocre buffet, let me tell you.
It's just I think it's just the observation deck now.
Oh, really?
I think so.
Fudge.
But there is a revolving restaurant in the West End.
Isn't
there?
I think I've been to it recently.
I don't even know my own fucking city. It's so
Anyways,
sad.
Ghostbusters was kind of a mess for me.
All right. Well, I think I just wanted to like it.
Well, of course you did.
But hey, I got a Lego set out of it. I got a full-sized Ecto-1 Lego set out of that release.
The thing is this... Okay. Did you?
Well, it's over there underneath the record player. Oh. I say full-size, I mean like it's a big Lego car.
Who gave you that?
Who gave that? I bought it.
Oh, I thought somebody bought it for you.
No. I just mean that they released that in conjunction with the movie. So I got a Lego set out of this.
Here's the thing I'm going to say. Some movies from certain times are best just left alone.
Just left alone. Leave it alone. Leave it alone.
We don't need a fucking new one.
We don't need Short Circuit 3.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine?
I can.
I can, too.
It'd be fully CGI.
Could you imagine Mac and Me, too? Could you imagine Bingo, too? Rookie of the Year 2.
What's Bingo?
Bingo was about that dog. One of those dog movies.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that one.
Yeah, it was a fucking deep cut.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, Ghostbusters, like...
Fuck.
And certain movies that hit, you know, because of like the cynicism of Bill Murray,
yeah,
or something, you know what I mean? Like, or like the formula of that, mm-hmm, doesn't mean that it's just going to fucking transfer over to a new story.
This is what I mean. It's not the same era. Like, it's, you can't just transplant those ideas into now. Yeah. They're not going
to
work.
I swear to God,
the '80s were way more forgivable about campy ideas like that.
Of course, because people,
Gremlins, Batteries Not Included, Flight of the Navigator. None of these movies would work now.
Yeah,
they barely worked then.
Exactly. Goonies, especially Batteries Not Included.
Yeah, right. Like,
but Goonies created that archetype of like kids on the adventure.
Did it?
Well,
that kind of always existed. I think that was just the 80s version of it. But that's the thing, right? That's
Stranger Things is just an 80s version of it.
Well, see, Stranger Things did well because it set itself in the 80s. Do you know what I mean?
Totally. And I feel like if you did
Goonies 2 with the same cast and they're grown up.
I thought they were doing that.
They were trying to. And I hope they never do.
Oh, Christ. They know Brolin's not doing it.
Like, what would they do?
Maybe Sean Austin.
What would they do? Go back to Astoria. They find another treasure.
There's another ship.
They're all fucking 46 years old.
There's Three-Eyed Willie.
There's Three-Eyed Willie. Another ship. They got another map. The Fratellis are like a new band of...
It's the Fratelli's kids.
It's the Fratelli's.
See, that's what I mean too.
Fratelli, it's like Jr.
They make it the kid.
Sloth is still alive.
Oh, man.
Sloth has had kids. Sloth is running a coffee shop.
Dude, this, I'm liking this. I'm really actually
called
liking
Baby
this.
Ruth's.
I'm really liking this. The one guy had a fucking toupee shop. The one Fratelli brother.
Chunk slimmed down.
Well, Chunk has slimmed down.
Yeah.
He's a high-powered Hollywood lawyer now.
That's right. You told me about that.
It's so weird. No, but I don't know, dude. I think I don't even know. I don't know what, because it, now television has become better than movies almost, right?
Yeah.
And now all people really want to watch in that capacity is these fucking superhero powerhouses.
I know. People want either a series that goes on forever, or they want a franchise of movies that goes on forever. People don't want to just...
closure.
Well, people don't want to invest in getting to know a character and then never seeing that character again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know, they get sad.
Whenever anybody likes something, they want more of the same. I'm like the weirdo because I'm like, God, I hope they don't make another one of those.
See, I want more Ted Lasso to come out.
I don't know.
You don't like it?
I know. I don't know. It's okay. It's okay.
What bugs you about it?
It bugs me because it's just so American. This is what we're going to talk to Sarah about. It's just American view of England.
Yeah. How many episodes have you watched?
I've watched the whole first season.
Okay. All right, then. That's a valid point.
It's just like,
I feel like it's just,
hey, I'm just a good old boy from the United States and I'm here in England. And then like all the English characters are just like these really bland stereotypes.
Charmingly befuddled.
Yeah, they're charmingly. Yeah.
Well, they always are.
Hugh Grant.
Exactly. Are they all always like that?
Well, I mean, Mr. Lasso, I do believe that you've changed my mind.
But dude, the second season shit gets weird at the end.
All right, well, I'll have to watch the second season. I do have Apple TV Plus.
So just watch the second season. It gets pretty internal. It gets pretty existential.
Okay, well, let's round this up. So out of the five movies that we watched,
four were good.
Four were hits. One was miss.
Yeah. So that's pretty good, I'd say.
No Time to Die, hit.
Hit. Last Duel.
Duel, hit. Free Guy, hit.
Dune,
hit. Yeah, definitely hit. Ghostbusters, miss. Oh, that's not bad. And we haven't seen Last Night in Soho. Neither of us have seen that yet.
Nor what I'm really excited for is Licorice Pizza.
Licorice Pizza.
So I thought it was playing, but I was mistaken because it's not. It's coming out Christmas Day.
There's a few. Okay, we haven't seen House of Gucci.
My mom says it wasn't very good.
I've heard mixed reviews. Marie and I can't stop making fun of it. The trailer. Because
Lady Gaga is just so over the top.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just can't get a good read on her.
So there's, so Licorice Pizza, Last Night in Soho, we haven't watched. I don't think I'm going to see Spencer.
What's that?
That's the Lady Di one with Kristen Stewart.
I can't watch. Okay, we have to talk about this with Sarah too. Because
yeah,
I well, can't she watch saw movies about.
She
royals.
Said she saw it, and yeah. I want to watch Nightmare Alley.
Oh yeah, for sure.
That one was like that. Kind of came out of nowhere. I saw a trailer for that when I saw Ghostbusters. I think it was Ghostbusters.
I'm interested to see the Oscars this year.
It's gonna be weird. I don't even know what is a contender. Because it depends. It depends on when they debuted, and all of them debuted late this year. So,
interesting.
It's going to be a weird cutoff.
It's coming up quicker than you think.
What's February, isn't it?
Exactly. It's February 2nd or something.
Shit. I still haven't seen Nomadland.
Neither have I. It was last year's winner.
I know.
We never even saw
it. It's on Disney Plus.
Because that's what happens now. Is fucking movies just. They just come out and then they just disappear.
I know. There's no staying power.
They're like news now.
Yeah.
There is no staying power.
Yeah.
Like, even if I listen to our old podcast, I'm like, oh, yeah, that movie.
Yeah.
Like, I have no idea.
I know. It's hard for something to latch onto me. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yes. Like the movies of the 90s that you remember for the rest of your life.
Yeah. Like Hook.
Fucking Seven.
Yeah, Seven.
Natural Born Killers.
Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah, that didn't do well at the box office either.
No, that was a flop.
Can you believe that was a flop? It was the best movie ever made according to many, many, many lists.
Yeah, they say it was the title. It was too confusing.
Because what do they want to call it?
It is probably one of the best movies ever made.
It is according to many lists. It and Pulp Fiction are always one and two.
Really? Usually, Pulp Fiction, hey?
Usually,
that surprises me.
That's on like Rolling Stone and fucking whatever. Like,
interesting.
It's usually Shawshank and Forrest Gump.
Weren't those are all the same year?
I know.
94.
That's what I'm saying.
Did we talk about this? 94.
We talked about 2007 and 1998.
We didn't talk about 94. We should do an episode about 94. I don't know. It wasn't 94. It wasn't 94.
No, it was something else.
Fuck,
wasn't it 2007 and 1991?
1999?
Yeah, it was. It was 99. It was
Matrix,
99.
Right?
Yeah.
That was 99.
Mm.
Whatever. All right. Anything else to say?
No,
anything else
dude.
To add? Any plugs? You got shows coming up?
I mean, we should plug our own show. Fucking Resident Alien.
The show. Yeah, Resident Alien. It's when is it? January it comes back.
Coming out.
January 27th, I want to say.
Should we ask one of them?
Yeah.
Probably.
We could.
I know we could get Robbie to come on.
Yeah, we could get Robbie to come on.
Or we could get Elizabeth.
Definitely Elizabeth.
Yeah. The other ones, I don't know. Tough nuts. If they ever listen to this, they'll be like, why did he even think that?
Well, because it's either they don't want to do it or they'll be offended that we didn't ask.
And it's tough. Me and you are cut from the same cloth.
I know.
In that department.
I don't want to be like that
weirdo. That nerd person. Yeah. Exactly. But what we don't realize is in LA, people do that all the time.
They do. But when what's different.
Still hard to do.
And what's different about our podcast is that when it's not, this isn't like one of those podcasts.
No.
Right? Like this when we had Atto on, we just talked about music.
Yeah, we talked a little bit. We did talk about music, but remember how he kept mentioning roles that we forgot that he did.
Oh, yeah, right.
That's kind of about, we were talking to him about like Third Wave, and he was telling us about like
Jason Bourne.
Bourne and Django Unchained, and we're like, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, right.
Oh, yeah, you worked with Tarantino. And he's like, yeah, man. We're like, fuck,
like,
dude.
The worst interviewers in the world.
Yeah, well, that's part of the charm, right?
That's part of the charm.
Okay, well.
Okay, well, thanks everybody for listening.
Yeah, thank you so much.
It's been so long.
Yeah, it's been way too long. And we'll try to get back in the game. We have 5 weeks off, so we'll try to make a few.
Yeah, or this might be the only one that you get until next year.
Until next year.
So.
And 2023 even.
Oh, God.
Who knows?
Who knows where we'll be?
Fuck, years just fly by.
2023. I know. This is so weird.
Do you think we'll still be dealing with COVID in 2023?
Yes.
Oh,
probably. It just won't stop because people need to get fucking vaccinated.
Yeah. Or is
not
it just
not naming any names?
Yeah, I mean, I can't wait till my booster.
Yeah, that'll be coming soon.
Just so I can feel alive again.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what you mean by that.
No, I haven't been sick ever since this happened.
I've got sick once, and I forgot how annoying it is.
Yeah, yeah, you were sick, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a fucking...
It was rough. Remember
trying to get back onto the show?
Yeah.
Fuck, it's brutal how they do it.
Exiled.
Exiled.
Stoned.
14 days. Okay, bro.
All right, well, thanks everyone for listening. I'm Clayton.
I'm Jordy.
This has been the Props Cast.
Bye.